Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast, where our mission is to encourage and highlight God's goodness and modern day miracles. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelly Hankins. Today we have with us a special guest. You will know her from TikTok, and I was introduced to her by one of our previous guests, author of 10 Things I Hate About My Husband, Shayla Huber. And Shelly and I finally got connected and got her scheduled, and I'm so excited to have her share what the Holy Spirit led her to share. And I'll have her tell you a little bit about her, and the Holy Spirit will guide that. And we'll have her open us up with an opening prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you endlessly for your goodness and giving us so much to glorify you in. I thank you for organizing and orchestrating so far beyond our ability to understand these ways of connection among the body of Christ so that we can come together to further strengthen and encourage other followers of Christ, those who are interested in you, and just be able to glorify all the things that you have done in our lives. I pray as always, Lord, that you would lead my heart, my tongue, my spirit to say only things that glorify you while on this podcast, this blessing of an opportunity you've given, Lord. And I just pray that as others listen, that your spirit in them would be emboldened, encouraged to do good works and go on and have their own faith strengthened by your goodness that you've poured out in my life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
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 So Shelby shares a lot of Christian content out there. So you would be blessed to follow her, and I'll let her tell you more.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am on all the socials under 48 Faith and Farms. Maybe we can throw that in the show notes or something, but I always laugh at this point now that the platform has grown, that God protected me from having my personal name out there to so many people. I know there's many who have, you know, large platforms and their names are out there. I have no doubt God has protection for them, but I do make the joke that not that many people know my name, or they think my name is Faith because Faith is in my handle. And so that's where you'll find me on all the social media. And it is funny. And it was actually the Lord put on my heart for years to speak on behalf of what I was learning in his word and the work of what he was doing in my life. And it was so funny that I was kind of like Jonah running into the belly of the whale instead, knowing what he was asking me to do, but coming up with every other thing to keep my hands busy instead of what he was asking. And it was actually the first TikTok that I ever made about Jesus. It's edited horribly. I'm chewing bubble gum through the whole thing because that is TikTok 101. Don't talk to the screen while you're yapping your mouth back and forth. But I knew nothing. I barely knew how to make a video on TikTok, but I had a message to share about the way God was moving in my heart and the fruit of his spirit in my life. And it still today is my biggest video. And from there, just kind of launched and confirmed what he had been calling and asking for me to do for a really long time. And that's brought us to where we are today, which looks completely different than only a year ago, but that's on God's goodness.
Yeah. It's amazing how he can expedite things.
Right. Yeah. He has my day to day looking completely and utterly different than it did only 1 year ago. And yeah, only him, only he could do such a thing.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about how things changed.
Absolutely. So as the platform began to grow and I began to just really step into the gifts that the Lord had given me, they were gifts that I had actually been using for 10 years in the corporate world. I worked for a large organization in a place called learning and talent development in terms of kind of the industry that I was in. And it was all about teaching people. So I was able to use the gifts of communication and teaching that he's granted me with and hone those. I was honing them in more of a worldly business fashion, but I was still honing them. Like, what draws people in? How can you use storytelling to help people learn? How can you keep people engaged and excited to learn? And how can you help them apply what they've learned? And so I remember it was the beginning of 2023. And as the platform was growing, as I was able to share with more women, and I was just feeling so boldly that this was it. I didn't know what it looked like, but I could tell this was the direction he's asking me to go. It was so heavy laid on my heart to step out of that corporate career, which made no sense to the world at all. Mm-hmm. I was doing incredibly well. I was set to take on the director position, and years following, you know, I was getting suited up for that. And I loved what I did, and I loved who I worked with and the company I worked for. But it's one of those Holy Spirit things when you know, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to make sense to everyone else.
Right.
And so I felt him calling me out of that. And we had been so blessed that only a few months before I left that corporate career, put in my notice, we had just purchased a little bit of land and an old farmhouse. And we really had this dream of being a little bit more self-sufficient and connecting with the Lord through our ability to steward our land really well. And we had this, you know, dream that we were, you know, we were going to be at farmers market selling duck and chicken eggs and produce from our garden and just steward what he'd given us and be part of the community in that way. But I told my husband, you know, I love that dream. That's amazing. But as we were sitting there at the beginning of 2023, all of our chickens and ducks are babies, not yet laying eggs. And it's, you know, in Indiana in the middle of February, it's definitely not garden season for most. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I have always made sourdough for my family. I got really into it in 2020 when we were all home.
It's a whole science.
I had been making it for my family for years at that point. And I said, maybe, you know, I've already been gifting family and friends, or I had some family and friends very casually would buy a loaf from me here and there. I was like, maybe we just start selling some sourdough, put our name on the map, get our name out there for this homestead we're creating. And then when it is time to garden and the chickens and ducks start laying eggs and all that good stuff, we'll already have some like partnerships or friends in this space. And once again, I was just headed in the direction that God led, and the sourdough business blew up. So that is God's goodness number 80,000 of the millions that he's had in my life. But that's the first way in this like larger trajectory of his goodness in my life that he really showed himself, was not only in impressing it upon me for all those years to speak about and use my gifts for his glory, not for the glory of some company that sells medical products. Mm-hmm. And he confirmed it through the platform that he so steadily built without me having to do much, but I do what he asked. And then when we were wondering how in the world we were going to make ends meet, since I was not only kind of the breadwinner, no pun intended at that point, but also it was saying goodbye to a very good salary and just a salary you could count on from a worldly perspective, to then start making bread and just there, it seemed that the sea was parted and everyone suddenly loved sourdough. And I got on that train before it became the coolest thing. And to just watch that grow into what it has been today, which I would love to talk about, but just to see how successful it was, it just had God all over it.
Hmm.
So then that would have been only a few months later. So I'm baking out of my home. We're going to farmers markets. We start having farmers markets local to us who are asking for us to come sell sourdough. So we're doing that. But it's a lot inside our tiny 1950s farmhouse. You could only make 2 loaves of sourdough at a time.
Oh, wow.
We have our oven went out halfway through the summer last year, and we thankfully had the means to get it replaced. Well, we were very thankful. We thought the whole oven went, but it was just a part of the oven that we could afford because we could not afford an oven. But it was such a blessing to be home with my kids. I have 3 boys. 2 of them, I was working corporate mama for much of their early days. And for my youngest son, who's now 2.5, I was able to be home with him primarily for his early days.
Awesome.
And Yes, which glory to God, once again, right? Even in what feels like those small details of the fact that while all this was happening, I was home stewarding those the earliest days and years of my youngest son's life was such a blessing and grew me more in my faith and to be closer to the Lord and know his character than ever before. And then I kind of felt the stirring and the call that as this platform grew for me sharing the testimony of the Lord in my life, and I would, you know, be in my studies and something would be revealed to me in his word that I didn't know before. And I'd be so excited. I would go tell my social media friends and sisters in Christ. And it just became, there was this kind of knocking to create a space where women of the Lord could actually come around his word together and learn together, strengthen one another together, encourage one another together, pray together. Because although TikTok and social media platforms have been such a big blessing, and I do think although there's plenty of negative that come with them, there's the positive of truly reaching the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. There's also this superficialness to it all, right? You don't know people by name. You don't get to look at them while you're speaking to them. Mm-hmm. You don't know when they comment something on one of your posts, you have no idea what they're walking through right now. And so I just felt this stirring, this call to use the platform he'd given me to also create a ministry of women, a space for women who were interested, who could actually use the internet and the blessings that it does come with to connect with one another and get to know one another more and actually come around the word of God together. So instead of it being a 1 minute fun teaching video, that we would actually have a weekly cadence where we are studying chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We are sharing where we're at in life. We're sharing what's touching our hearts that day. And so that's what then led me to create How to Hunger Ministries, which is that little slice of the earth that the Lord has given me to steward, that has about, let's see, I think about 850 women now who come together a couple times a week to just, you know, glorify the Lord, get to know one another biblically, strengthen and sharpen one another, and then just get excited about the word of God. So
how does it work? Is it like a Zoom call or how do you get together?
Sure. Yeah. So it's just a private Facebook group that anyone can join. And if anyone is listening to this and finds any of my socials, you should find all those links there too.
Yeah, we'll put those out.
Sure. The Facebook page is just a private Facebook page. It's completely open to anyone. It's private only because we do want to make sure that women are intentional about joining and that it's women. Mm-hmm. So it is private for that reason. But then we get together twice a week, yes, on a Zoom call and right there on a Facebook Live on the page. So I go live in both places. Some women prefer just to watch from the Facebook Live and comment and stay engaged. Other women actually want to join the Zoom call, look at each other. They want to unmute and speak. And it's really open for either one of those forums. But Zoom and Facebook Live is how we do those things. Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. And then I also did start a Patreon. And the Patreon is the membership for the ministry. And that just helps support the time it takes to run a ministry and also has a lot of additional perks, like a recorded video of every single teaching we've ever done, my notes for every single teaching we've ever had. Those kind of things are on there to support the ministry as well. But all this time, what was happening is these two things were ramping up. My sourdough business, my family sourdough business, was getting more and more successful. We were at markets, we're doing private orders, we were meeting a lot of people, businesses that were interested in also having sourdough in their businesses. You know, maybe they ran a restaurant or something like that. But then we also had this ministry growing. And as we were kind of launching the ministry, and the first study that we did was a study of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, I started to take the copious detailed notes and recordings for every single chapter and started to turn them into a study guide.
Nice.
Yeah. And so it was just a way to further reach the ends of the earth with the work the Lord had already stewarded to be done. So if you're going to take 10 pages of notes on Genesis chapter 1, why not turn those into something consumable that anyone could read Genesis chapter 1 and then take a look at those notes? So both of those things were happening. Both of those things were growing, keeping me plenty busy. But then I had a really tough decision to make because one of my dear friends who was also in the baking business, she doesn't bake bread, she bakes cookies, but she was really interested and at a point in her career and her life where she wanted to have a bakery. So she was wanting to get out of her house, quit, you know, taking up her kitchen. She wanted efficiency. She wanted a storefront. And those desires were very heavy in my heart as well. I love baking. I love what I do. And I was pretty tired of having a kitchen that never felt like mine. And anyone who's listening who may have ever dabbled in sourdough, even if you just tried one loaf and it didn't work out and you said, forget this, you likely remember how messy it is. So just picture that at a mass scale in a small kitchen all the time. And so these desires did lay heavy on my heart. I wanted a storefront. I wanted to get out of my own kitchen. I wanted the commercial efficiency of having an actual commercial kitchen. I wanted all those things too. But at that point, I spent weeks and weeks in prayer. And honestly, just being still and waiting for the Lord to move. I refused to make a decision until I felt like he moved somehow. And that took weeks of just feeling like nothing, feeling like he wasn't answering. And, but
the word says, be still and know. And that feels like that's what you were doing.
Exactly. And another one of my favorite scriptures is, but seek first the kingdom of God and the rest will be added unto you in Matthew 6:33.
Yes.
That's one of the verses I live my entire life by, because I think that if anyone's looking, humans so often look for the calculation of what they're supposed to do to get it right. Mm-hmm. What does God want me to do? What is my life going to look like? What is God's call on my life? What pleases God? All these things. They want this quantifiable black and white. What does God look like and what am I supposed to do? And I feel like that is the equation, is if you are getting busy seeking the kingdom of God, then you will just let the rest be added unto you and you don't have to worry about it. And so exactly, I spent weeks and weeks between this decision of going for the bakery, knowing there were so many areas of my life that wouldn't be ready for the bakery, but that it was a heavy desire of my heart, or I had this ministry that was in its infancy. It had only been going for a couple months. We probably had, I don't know, 50 women at that point in time. We were deep in our studies on Genesis. I had just had the Lord kind of confirm and give me the idea of doing the study journal out as a fruit of these week by week studies. And I just knew so confidently that at that moment, the ministry, the studies, getting it off the ground, creating a solid group of women coming around the Word of God, working on that study journal, as much as it hurt, I knew that was where he was asking me to be. And so I had to tell my friend, no, that I'm not in a place right now where I can say yes to looking into owning a bakery.
That had to have hurt a little bit. Like, oh, I can't do it right now.
It did. It did. There were some white knuckles, some clenched fists, some tears, because in my humanness, I also thought God was telling me just no. Mm-hmm. I thought that the Lord was telling me that I needed to sacrifice this bakery dream for the sake of the gospel.
I just said, and then I was thinking, you step down from a paid position of known salary a year, a known comfort level to start a bakery, and then you still question whether this was what God wanted you to do. And that's like so human of us to believe that we received something from the Lord and then question it as we're doing it. As if his desire is to say, yes, I want to lead you out so I can pull the rug out from underneath you. Sucker. Like, that's never been his heart. Like, that's just how broken we are from the world, from the attacks of the enemy, that we have a hard time trusting our Father even when things don't go in a way that we can see clearly.
Absolutely. And I remember in scripture, I used to get kind of annoyed because I thought God repeated himself too much. I would think, yeah, you just said that. Or why are you saying that multiple times? Or he would say, remember me. Remember when I delivered you from the land of Egypt and from slavery. Remember when I provided manna from you. Remember when I covered you for shade during the day and warmth in the night. And I'd be like, yeah, 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 Lord. Like, we've read all of this. Why are you making, like, all of your prophets are saying this again and again and again? And it's because if we humble ourselves before the Lord, we realize how often we needed reminded. Mm-hmm. How often he will confirm something and tell us to go a certain way. And a couple weeks down the road, we're doing the thing and we're like, wait a minute. Was that really God? Did he really say that? Or we just forget in our actions. Sometimes I find in the actions that I'm doing that I must have forgotten who God is and what he's promised and what he's led me to do, because the way I'm acting doesn't confirm the promise that he made, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not even always my second guessing in my thoughts, but sometimes it can also be in what I'm doing. The actions of myself aren't glorifying to what he's called me to do. So.
Another question. After you left your position and quite literally decided to risk it for the biscuit.
I love it.
And you were struggling with that and your ministry. Did it ever turn to a point where while you're in your ministry, that the business and all the hardships and all the questions and things, all the joy and whatnot directly correlated to the ministry in some way? Like, did you learn something from the business that helped you in that ministry?
I think wholeheartedly. So I would say the biggest thing that helped the ministry alongside, I was an infant and leaving a corporate career and being a stay-at-home mom making bread who didn't necessarily know how the bills were going to be made. Like, you know, and I had worked that corporate career from 19 years old to 29 years old. So I knew absolutely nothing else. And so the idea of going through those milestones, really feeling like, not to compare myself to Abraham, but to think about the storyline of him just kind of being told to leave everything he knows and just go. Mm. Doing that at the same time as starting the ministry, I think really centered the ministry around exactly what the Lord's purpose was. And that was for there to be no aesthetic, for it to be a place of vulnerability where all in all stages of faith and life can come. Because to call myself a leader only because he's given me the platform to steward women around the word of God. If I use the word leader, that's simply what I mean, is the opportunity to steward the women who are part of the ministry. What I learned from the business side of things is they got to watch a leader who just had to exercise just complete faith in the Lord. They got to see me not sure how we were going to make a mortgage payment. They got to see me have questions of faith in terms of, am I really supposed to be doing this? This is so hard. They got to walk with me through the highs of exciting times and the lows of, like David in the Psalms, where are you, Lord? Is this really worth it? And I think there's such a strong sense of sisterhood in the ministry around being humble and faithful. It wasn't like there's some chick who started a ministry and she has it all together, right?
who has a large following
and all this, or even has it all together, or makes it seem like she does, right? Yeah. It's not even a ministry that's based on this person just, you know, really is successful and is now starting this thing and I want to go be a part of it. It's like, no, this person is just stepping out in blind faith and knows that the Lord has called her. And so she has her arms out and she's taken his hand and she can't see anything else, but she's just going with him. And the ministry got to ride on the coattails of that and actually see it play out in real time. And so there have been many, many lessons along the way. But one of the biggest is, I think, like I say, is the seeking first of the kingdom of God. There were so many business challenges where he taught me that I just had to trust and seek him and it would play out. And the ministry got to watch that happen and exercise it in their own lives. And there are so many testimonies that aren't mine to share, but that are beautiful from the ministry in that exact way. We have women in the ministry who started as just, not just, I don't put say it lightly, but they were stay-at-home moms who joined this because they're really struggling with getting into the word daily. And they think this would be a great thing to help them out. And now they're leading women's conferences at their local church. It's amazing.
I love it. I love how you guys can grow together, be authentic, and then just learn from one another in that community. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I knew that I was turning down the bakery gig. But yes, to your point, Josh, it was like in my head, I thought the Lord had changed his mind. In my head, I thought he's wanting me to sacrifice this next step of the bakery, this taking this side of things further, because he wants my time and my effort in this ministry. And I think because we love the Lord, we're willing to sacrifice. So there is a willingness. It's just not his heart and his purpose for you. And so the coolest thing about it all, just to bring some of like all of these interwoven stories of his goodness to a head, is I say no to her. We're still wonderful friends. We still see each other at like little mini market type things because I do still keep baking bread, but I do focus my energy on the ministry at that time. And I had such peace about the decision. And that's another way I often know that the direction is from the Lord because of the feeling of peace or lack of peace. So even though I did feel like I was sacrificing something and having to say no to what I desired to be able to continue getting the ministry off the ground, I also had so much peace about the decision. So I knew that I was in line with what he was asking. But the coolest thing about it all is there was so many ups and downs. We would have to have a podcast that was 20 hours long to go through it all, but it was 9 months. So it, from the time that I had told my friend no to the testimony period that I'm about to share. It was 9 months.
It's getting really good, people. Tune in. This is awesome.
Of teaching weekly for the ministry, 9 months of, you know, writing the Bible study journal, 9 months of baking a few, you're baking some stuff every week, but 9 months. And it was the same week that I released the Bible study journal. So we had finished the 50 chapters of Genesis. I had edited all of the study journal pages. I had uploaded them to Amazon. I'd went through all the things you have to go through to publish a book. And we published it. It was the exact same week that we were excited. The ministry's celebrating. Some of, you know, my followers are celebrating. My family's celebrating. My friends are celebrating. We released the study journal. It felt like a major milestone in the life of the ministry. That exact, the same baker friend. And says, hey, I found a bakery. We actually already like this. I'm just telling you this. I found a bakery. We signed the lease. We have been gutting it all summer long. It's brand new. It's repainted, new cases, new shelves, brand new bakery equipment. Everything is locked and loaded. It is turnkey. It is ready. But we need a bread girl.
Boom.
Would you be interested in walking into this bakery and just baking your bread here? You don't have to work any extra hours. You don't have to suddenly sign on to a whole bunch of extra payments or a lease. You don't have to do any of those things. But would you be willing to maybe consider doing your baking in this commercial kitchen and help stock the bakery too?
So cool. You're like, yes.
I love how you likened your adventure to Abraham, where he just said, hey, it's time to move on. And you did. And you failed to mention how your life was like Abraham in that you sacrificed something or thought you had to sacrifice something that you dearly loved, that you really wanted, that you really cherished. And he stopped you before you could.
Yeah, right. Just like in the story of Isaac, exactly. This whole time he, like Abraham didn't miss a beat. He got up and he went to the mountain, but all the while thinking he was sacrificing something. Yeah, he dearly loved, but right before it felt like the sacrifice was kind of final, he presented the ram, right? He presented there being another way.
What a testimony of obedience.
Yep, he desires our obedience far beyond our sacrifice. Amen. Absolutely. And so now, all these months later now, I am a third bakery owner in my hometown. We are gearing up to line our shelves with Bible study journals, along with scones and biscuits and bread and cookies and cakes.
Awesome.
Where it's been amazing to start to learn what it means to own a business in a small community, because you get to be a part of the community in a different way. It's not just a community member, but you're also a community servant. It's the bread of life and the bread of bellies at the same time. And so through that, just continuing the ministry and having it be grown to where it is and have it be more of a well-oiled machine. Now there are a few women, all the women in the ministry are wonderful. There's a few who have specifically stepped up to help keep that well-oiled machine going and growing. And now I spend these days at home with my family, just completely dedicated to them, early mornings working on ministry stuff, and then a couple early mornings a week doing bakery stuff. But I really desired, as the ministry grew digitally, I had this desire that what about these women in my backyard? What about this community, God? What about this? What about the people I look in the eye when I see them at the grocery store? Do they know you? And the bakery has just offered this blossoming, beautiful opportunity to meet people exactly where they are and first share the gospel by loving them and listening to them and getting to know them. And so his goodness has just been all over the way he's diversified my life in only a little over a year.
Wow. I think it's really cool how it was 9 months, you know, that's how long it takes to bring a baby out, you know, create the baby in the womb. And then it gave birth to this, you know, after like you released the journal and then you were celebrating that and then the bakery came too. And that was just so neat.
Yeah, he's so amazing. And I think what he's teaching me right now, what he really laid on my heart to share on the podcast, and to be honest, I felt like it wouldn't be quite understood unless there was a little bit of the testimony and context to go with it, is we see it constantly in scripture. Humanity entering new seasons and having to choose God all over again. And you see it with Abraham. He was called to leave everything he knew. And you see that one of the first places he's planted, they experience a famine and he rushes to Egypt. We don't have other context scripture to know if he prayed first or where he was at with that. But we know that in his humanness, he hurried to Egypt to fend for himself, and God mercifully and lovingly brought him back to say, hey, I'm the one who called you out. I can provide for you. And so Abraham created an altar and repented and got back on track. And you see throughout Abraham's life, him growing and being sanctified to choose God first and don't forget him through your travels and through where he may take you. And then you see it again with the Israelites, right? Like leaving Egypt, they chose God when God was saying, I'll deliver you out of this place. You don't have to be a slave. I will miraculously deliver you from your enemies. They chose God, but then they got into the wilderness and it looked far different than everything for generations that they had been used to. They didn't know what they were going to drink, how they were going to eat, where they were going to lay their head. And he had to teach them once again how to choose him and trust him. And you see it in the promised land. And I was giggling about this actually with my pastor, how Jesus tells Paul that his job is the Gentiles, yet he still is so faithfully burdened by the Jews that he still goes and preaches to the Jews too. And it just gets him in a bunch of trouble because God's like, I said, Gentiles, you're preaching to the people who persecuted me. And that is what he's really led me to talk about on where I am today is there's a reason in scripture why God reminds humanity all the time, reminds us of who he is, reminds us of what he's done, reminds us of who we are in him, because we do forget. And this happened most often, his reminders, when a people were leaving a certain season of their lives or entering a new season. And that's where I'm at now, is in only the past year and a half or so, my life has changed so much. And I think season is kind of an overused Christian lingo thing. So I'll say, for the sake of understanding, when I say season, I just mean, what does your life look on a daily basis? Who do you see every day? What are you doing every day? Though the seasons of my life have changed five times in the past year and a half, which is actually quite a lot when you're saying that the people you see every day, the things you do every day, have changed five times in that short of a period. And in every single one, I have to be further sanctified, because as my schedule changes, as the people I talk to every day change, I often learn the hard way that I have to intentionally choose God.
That's the only way I learn.
By getting it wrong. That makes me feel better.
You are not alone.
His ears perked up. He's like, yep, that's me.
If there's an easy way and I can see it's the easy way, I will still take the hard way.
Right? It's like there's almost a knowing, but you just do it anyway until you're brought back on your knees or something. It's kind of like he tells us we're like this. But that's exactly it. Is when I was mostly doing ministry and baking at my house, I got into this really beautiful groove of, these were the hours I spent with the Lord every morning, and these were the hours I'm baking, and these are the hours I'm doing ministry. And of course, there's an ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. It wasn't some black and white by the minute schedule, but I got into a really beautiful kind of little melody with the Lord there. And then this beautiful testimony of the bakery being dropped in my lap happens the same week I release the journal, and his goodness is all over it. His providence is all over it. Mm-hmm. But now what I found is I started getting in the groove of this bakery and my hours changing. And I found that I wasn't in the Word near as much. Mm. I wasn't feeding my spirit near as much. I was listening to political podcasts more than I was tuning in to the Lord while I was baking. It was just one little thing at a time eroding the strength of his spirit in me. And so over the past couple months, as I enter this new season and I figure it out a little bit, that's my kind of where I'm at, and my call to speak on is, in what ways is God calling you to remember him in whatever you're doing? Mm-hmm. And so I've had to through doing it wrong, like Josh said, and getting it wrong a few thousand times and doing the wrong thing, he's brought me back to remembering and being able to find that really sweet melody with him again in where he has me today.
Mm-hmm. How silly we are, too, thinking that he can't sort it back out.
I know.
Right? Like,
Lord, take away the bakery. I've screwed it up.
We're like kids on those little strings where they, like, rope them up to the other kids in a line, but we get free. And he's just so gentle with us to get us back in line with the other kids. You know, like, no, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And we're beating ourselves up, and he's already forgiven us.
I know. And it's so often, it makes me almost teary-eyed when I think about it, because so often one of the reasons we're this way is we do not know how to be loved the way Christ loves us. Mm-hmm. We don't know how. Mm-hmm. How can we receive a love that we cannot even fathom? Mm-hmm. How can we receive a love where there is no condemnation? Mm-hmm. And you aren't disappointed in me. And you are simply waiting with arms wide open for me to turn around, no matter how much I've strayed, knowingly or unknowingly, you know? And it's like, how do you receive something like that when many of us have hardly even tasted a drop of it from the world? Mm-hmm. So,
truth. Yeah, he's expressed to me many an occasion that he doesn't blame me, that it's not my fault, right? Mm-hmm. Not the sin that I actively engage in, not the purposeful problems, but the things that made me to this point, the things that I developed as a child with. The way I was raised by my parents, the way I was influenced by my friends, all the things that made me before I knew him, He doesn't mm-hmm. blame me for, because he knows I was in the world. He knows I was of the world, and he just wants me now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, that's something I didn't really mention. It's a huge piece of where I'm at today, but I lost my father a couple months ago.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear that.
So much. Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate mm-hmm. that. But I only say that because talk about getting to know the love of your true father mm-hmm. when you're walking through what it means to, in this life, say goodbye to the only one you've known mm-hmm. as a human. Mm-hmm. And to your point, want to only say things that, you know, honor my father, my human father, but so much of what we learn is what we have received. Right. And so mm-hmm. I remember walking through, even a situation I have today in my life. And I remember finally just asking the Lord, how do I love this person, Lord? How? Look at what they're saying. Look at what they're doing. Look at their intentions. How do I love this person? I was at my wit's end trying to just do the right thing and be nice. Mm-hmm. I said, how? And I remember he spoke so clearly. And I always know it's him because it's like he says things I would never say. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I even have to Google or go into scripture to find the words that he used. Because I'm like, okay, I know you've said that in scripture, but I don't know that, the definition of that. And he said to me, you're never going to know how to love them like I do until you receive the love I have for you. And it just completely opened my eyes to the idea that so much of what he wants us to do is to receive his love, which mm-hmm. means seeking him. How can you receive a love of a him you don't know? Mm-hmm. You'll uncover new pieces of parts of his love throughout your whole life long. But I finally realized that loving people was like this stronghold that I had on my life of really being able to love people. And he revealed to me that the way we do that is by first being loved, by first allowing ourselves to be loved by mm-hmm. him and receive mm-hmm. that love. And yeah, it's written all over these testimonies, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. And in his word, you know, if you do all these great things for the Lord, but you have not love, you're bankrupt, right? God says, this is it. This is the buck. This, I am love. If you don't have love, you don't have me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. You don't have anything. Filthy rags, even the good stuff. Filthy rags. Mm. So good.
I love how you got blessed by just following him just step by step. And he took you and held your hand the whole way. And he's like, let's do it this way. And it just worked out so well. Mm-hmm. It was so cool how everything just fell into line and it kind of flowed into place. Mm.
Yeah, and how in the end it was many early mornings and late nights and prayers, but it was effortless in the way the journey happened. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's when you know it really was ordained by the Lord. It doesn't mean that you aren't empowered by his spirit doing a lot. I think those who follow Christ work harder than most. but you can tell the difference between striving and following his lead. And mm-hmm. so that's what's so beautiful, because I know for a fact, if I would have chosen the bakery back when I wanted to, it would have been a whole lot of striving, mm-hmm. a whole lot of messy, whole lot of loose ends. And so
could have taken longer to get where you needed to.
1,000%. And just by following his lead, it all happened through hard work, of course, but mm-hmm. in this kind of effortless delivery of the things at the right time that he said that they were to come. So
I love his timing. It's the hard part is the waiting and walking through it. But when you're on the other side, you're like, wow, what just happened?
Yeah. And how amazing that y'all have a podcast where people can come on and share God's goodness. Cause I'm always telling the ladies in the ministry who just feel like too nervous to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. I'm always telling them, you don't have to go tap someone on the shoulder and just say, hi, do you know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
Right.
I actually recommend you don't do that, especially right now. Not right now. Mm. But I say, have you ever considered just boldly sharing in the goodness that he's had in your life? Mm-hmm. Because I have never seen more women, even the ones local to me that I've grown up with, who maybe are watching what God's doing kind of from the sidelines, but aren't saying much. They feel emboldened to ask about the Lord, you know, can you help me start reading the Bible? Because they've just heard about the beautiful things he's done in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I think that's more of an effortless way to share the gospel, is just to boldly live for him and let him speak through you on behalf of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you just share in that awesome thing that he taught you this morning when you were in Bible study, or you just share that awesome testimony of that thing that you'd been praying on for a long time or worried about for a long time, that you cast it on him and he delivered. If you'll just do that, like, just speak for yourself, you know what I mean, on behalf of what he's done for you, that's a strong gospel.
Mm-hmm. The power of our testimony.
Exactly. Yep. To encourage others to good works. Mm.
It's so good. When God laid this idea on my mind, like, why don't you talk about me with others and share it with the world? I'm like, oh, that's easy. I can do that. And I'm just so grateful that I get to hear all these stories and share them with the world, because why keep them to myself? So I'm so glad that you were able to share all of this. And I encourage everybody to go follow her on social media. We'll put the links in the description. And what a blessing to share what God is teaching you with others. And then they can come alongside you and then share what they're learning. And I just love how he's growing you and others together at the same time. And he just does it so gently, you know, one day at a time. What can you do today? You know, like in Kingdoms, I have this group that I'm part of. It's called Kingdom Seekers. And the daily dose, Holly, she's like the host. She says, go out and change the kingdom in only the way that you can. And they talk about, what's that one needle moving action that you can take to change things today, just to get a little closer to the next step. So I just love how God takes us step by step and just works it out. And then when you look back, you're like, wow, that is so neat how it all just came together. And it's not over yet.
Like, he had a plan.
You know, there's more to come.
Almost so, like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, right. The one who created the universe and all we see in it, he knows what's going on with your life.
Me, who can't even do a meal plan, is comparing my intellect to somebody who just knows everything all the time.
I hope this episode has been a blessing to others. I tell everybody that, you know, there's a message for everybody in every episode. So I hope that you got what you needed from this episode. And if this has been a blessing to you, we ask that you share it with others, friends, family, on social media, and all the stuff. And you can also hit the follow button on the social media and rate the podcast in Apple Podcast and Spotify. That helps get the message out there to more listeners, and we can encourage more people because of it. And there's also links in our About section. If you'd like to come alongside us and help this little mission of ours, we would greatly appreciate that. That would help with the audio editing expenses and all the other stuff that goes along with it. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.